Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Evan and Tiki here on The Fan. And a very special day here around WFA. And it is July 1st. We'll get to Bobby Bonilla Day in a little bit, which is, you know, a disgrace. But July 1st is WFAN's birthday. And it is always easy to remember for me WFAN's age because it is the same age as me. WFAN was born 2 months after I was. Today is the 37th birthday, Tiki, to our station. Wow. So happy birthday.
Happy birthday, WFAN.
No cake outside.
I know.
Howie Rose gets cake. We don't get cake. Very interesting.
Do you think Ryan even knew?
No, I think Ryan knew. Ryan's a WFAN historian. But it's the 37th. You know, WFAN, a lot like me at 37, 40 will throw a big party. You don't need the big party at 37.
That's a good point.
So with that, I thought the best way to honor WFAN with the 37th birthday was, of course, with Cinco de Fivo.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and by Wendy's. Try the new Pretzel Baconator today. So for anybody out there listening who has enjoyed 37 years of WFAN, 1 year of WFAN, and everywhere in between, I, Tiki, am a lot like them. I grew up. Long Island, my dad's car, WFAN every single day. It is part of the fabric of me. And the fact that I could sit here today on the 37th birthday hosting Afternoon Drive with a player through 37 years that I grew up before, it's just like mind-blowing stuff if I ever took a chance to think about it and actually appreciate what's going on in my life. But I don't.
Right.
I take it for granted. So I'm going to give you my five favorite WFAN shows that I personally ever got to listen to. Here's the catch. It is excluding every show in the current lineup. Because we're not doing that fight
today.
That's
right.
We're not doing that fight. So all
Smart.
My five favorite shows.
Here we go.
Number five.
It's CMB. Now, full disclosure, I got to produce this show for a year and a half. I loved working with Chris Carlin, Maggie Gray, and Bart Scott. Obviously, a very odd time. Mike came out of retirement, came back. They went to 1-3. I truly believe had that show had a little more runway, it absolutely would have been successful. And I loved listening to it. I loved getting the work for it. Absolutely love those guys. That's number five for me.
That's a good one.
Number four.
It's Mike's on. It's Francesa Solo. And I have to be honest, what Mike got tasked with when Chris left was really difficult. And there were rumors, would he find a co-host, Tiki, would he not?
Yeah.
He ended up doing the show solo, which was not easy in Afternoon Drive.
And his show was long.
Right? Long. I know at first he came back, it was only 3 o'clock. Or no, I guess it was one when Chris left.
Right.
He came back, it was three. It went through different times. But where Mike's show, I thought, truly thrived was instead of having two people in the chair, you guys as the callers became so much of the comedy in the show. Like, the show was so unintentionally funny with so many callers that you couldn't wait after a big game to hear what Mike would go with. You know, at times he would lead with the weather. But, right, you know, nonetheless, the callers were so good on it. That's number four.
Number three.
It's Joe and Evan. Mm. WFAN went through so many different iterations of the midday show. You know, Sid and Jody Mack for a long time when I was growing up. But Joe and Evan, it was like an old man and a son sitting there sharing stories for the same teams. And Evan's all grown up. He's our grown-up leader now.
He is.
But Evan the kid with Joe for all of those years. I mean, it's after a jet loss, where else would you rather listen?
Right, it's funny. I didn't even think of it like that because Evan was so much younger then.
Yes. Yeah, and it worked. It was the old and the young. It was really crazy. Joe and Evan in their heyday was excellent radio. Here we go.
Number two.
Boomer and Carton in the mornings.
Mm.
All right? When Craig came over and formed with Boomer after Imus left, that show just had incredible energy from the jump. And I will tell you that when I started college in 2005, the fall of 2005, waking up on my own in a car, not being told what to do, commuter, I could not wait to listen to that show every day, and every day that show made me laugh. Obviously, the fingerprints on what's become Boomer and Geo are still there. Boomer and Carton for me. All right.
What was the morning show before?
Imus.
They were right after Imus?
Right after Imus and the controversy. They, you know, went through a bunch of trial runs for a couple weeks of trying out different people. And I guess the story goes they had like a secret tryout show with Craig and Boomer, and Chernoff brought Boomer and Carton over, and it was a wild success almost immediately from jump.
Hmm.
Yeah, here we go.
Number one.
And it's Mike and the Mad Dog. I think any kid like me who is now late 30s, early 40s, if you grew up listening to The Fan in your dad or mom's car, it was Mike and the Mad Dog, and hearing those two, you know, argue about nonsense and weave in movies. And, you know, for everybody who talks now about, oh, WFAN doesn't talk enough sports. At the core, Mike and the Mad Dog were at their best when they didn't talk sports. Opens on The Sopranos after a big episode. Again, going through the Academy Awards and stuff like that. Mike and the Mad Dog were the original show, without anybody really realizing it, that took sports and entertainment and combined the two. And I think everybody forgets that to this day. They were the original at being able to do sports talk and weaving in entertainment.
Yeah.
They were so good
at it. No, it's true. Because I don't even think of it like that.
Yeah.
That was when I was playing.
Right.
So most of my exposure to Mike and the Mad Dog was just doing a spot or listening to their sports or hearing about their sports
right.
takes as opposed to everything else. I didn't
right.
start listening to it until I was retired.
Dude, it was poetry in motion. I absolutely loved it. I adored it. And again, my favorite stuff from Mike and the Mad Dog was not even the sports stuff. But after a big game or on a big game day, of course, that got it going. And WFAN would not be here today without what was found truly with Mike and the Mad Dog. And of course, you know, those who did not make the list, just because you can't fit everybody, loved working with Steve, his monologues.
Summers.
Unbelievable.
It was like having sex.
Epic. I mean, and Steve... Steve was just hysterical, but seeing those yellow notepads and that Tony Page worked with, he obviously had his great moments too. The roster is just legendary. Susan, of course. What do you got, Loogie?
No, I'm just wondering, you're working with Tiki, right?
Yep.
You didn't mention Tiki and Tyranny, of course. You're working with me. You didn't mention Carter
Roberts.
Well,
because we weren't on WFAN. We were only on WFAN for barely a year.
You had CMB on there. They were only on there for one book. You just disrespected Tiki. That's all.
No,
and Tierney.
I enjoyed
your teammates, your current teammates.
Again, it's top five.
And I was good to him, too.
Yeah,
like,
great
to him.
His
whole fat journal thing. You should see this read that I...
You did.
I'm not even joking.
We did. It lives on YouTube from CBS Sports Radio.
It is one of the greatest...
Look up Tiki, Sean Morris fat journal.
Renditions of reading Sean's fat journal that you'll ever hear.
For those wondering what a fat journal was, I tried to write down everything I ate every single day, and I thought that would help me lose weight. Turns out I've lost weight since ditching the fat journal, and we had people read everything, and it was a disgrace to society. But no, Tiki and Tier, of course, Brandon's done a good job. But 37 years, happy birthday, WFAN. Happy birthday. Hopefully, you know, in 3 years, we're doing some kind of big celebration somewhere. Maybe a little Fudgy the Whale, get that involved, and
Fudgy
have a big
whale.
Party.
What is that?
Oh,
the whole thing is so reeking with taint.
You don't know what Fudgy the Whale is?
I have no idea what Fudgy the Whale is. What is Fudgy the Whale?
Boomer just drove off the BQE when he heard that.
Dude, you need an intervention.
Maybe.
Fudgy the Whale is singly the greatest ice cream cake ever created. It's done by Carvel, and it is in the shape of a whale with fudge painted over the top, some chocolate vanilla ice cream with chocolate crunchies in the middle.
Kind of How sounds you doing? Delicious.
It is the fudge blends
Where
with the ice cream.
Where does it come from?
Carvel.
Any Carvel.
You go into Carvel, it's the thing they're most known for, Fudgy the Whale. Go to a Carvel, will you? I know you're watching your figure.
I don't. I ran 7 miles a day. I can eat whatever the hell I want today.
Have a Fudgy the Whale. Will you? Is there a Carvel in New Jersey? Is that just a New York thing or are they in Jersey? I don't know.
I mean, there's got to be, dude.
You ever heard of Cookie Puss? That's their other one.
No.
There's a Cookie Puss
so
and there's
I
a
must,
Fudgy the Whale.
I must never have been to Carvel.
Boomer has a Fudgy the Whale every year for his birthday.
Yes.
It is unfathomable
Does
that you have
eat
never
the
had.
Whole thing?
No. I don't know. Where do you go tail? Boomer's probably a tail guy. I eat the whale tail.
Why is there no Fudgy the Whale here today?
Well, there should be for the birthday. We're going to find you. Your birthday passed already, didn't it?
It did.
All right.
I mean, my next one, I'm not having a Fudgy the Whale.
Why?
Because it's a big one.
50, you can't have Fudgy the Whale. That's an even more reason to have it.
It's going to have a colonoscopy, I think. I think isn't Evan's
already,
birthday coming?
Already come been
up?
There.
Yeah. The doctor's going to have
clean
a Fudgy
colon.
The Whale.
I think Evan's birthday is this week, I want to say, or next week. His is coming up soon. He's a July birthday.
Oh.
Didn't it already happen?
Did it? I don't know.
I thought he was a July birthday.
I don't know. I don't know.
We're closing on 1 year working together as a show.
That's when we'll do it. Our 1 year anniversary of this show starting first day, Fudgy the Whale cake.
Word. That's in like 2 or 3 weeks.
No, like the actual start. We had a soft start.
Yeah.
We had a soft open.
So like August, whatever it was. I don't remember.
No, so the actual start would be September, you're talking about?
Yeah. Not the soft launch.
Right, when all of us were off every other week and we figured this out, yeah. You're talking about? That's how we did it? Why is Sean doing the show with Tiki? I thought it was Evan and Tiki. I'm insulted. I was lied to by Spike Eskin. 888-808-1019. TJ in Rockland County. TJ, what's up?
What up, TJ?
Sean, I got a question for you.
What do you got, man?
Number two on your list was the Boomer Carton when you were getting up to go to college in 2005.
Yeah.
But the show started in 2007.
Did it? All right. Well, the point was I was in college in 2007. Yeah. So maybe not my first year, but when I was in college driving around. I'm sorry to get the exact year right.
No, I mean, it's 2 years off, brother.
I went to college for six years, DJ.
I can't believe Tommy didn't call the Fugazi out on you.
All right, well, I went to college for 6 years. The point is, when I was driving to college in the morning, I listened to Boomer Carton.
Yeah, TJ, Tommy didn't know.
Yeah.
He didn't realize it. He didn't do the math.
Boy, way to ruin a good moment. Try to celebrate the birthday. Jeez,
yeah,
TJ.
I mean, I worked on the show, but I didn't start. I wasn't part of the inception, so I forgot when they started, too. That's why I didn't say
all right, but so shocker to all. I didn't get done with college early. I'm the only person to go to college as long as a doctor did without getting a doctorate. All right? I failed a lot of places.
A lot of people are in college for 7 years.
Yeah, I screwed up.
Doctors.
Yes, I screwed up. In fact, the fact that Eddie Scazzeri even hired me was a miracle.
Wow, are you kidding me? Portugal.
What do we got?
And who are they playing?
You tell us. You're
Slovenia
watching it.
Is going to end on a penalty kick?
Here we go. Extra time, penalty kick. And this is the round of 16 here in the Euros. So anybody who wants to talk to me, feel free. Tiki is going to watch this penalty kick.
It's Ronaldo taking the penalty kick.
Here we go. Do I take a call or are you going to do play-by-play?
No, go ahead.
All right. Philip in Jamaica, Queens. Philip, what's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Big fan of yours and happy birthday. You should have a party.
Yeah, that's what I said. Why is there no cake here?
Yeah. Anyway, I have a Yankee question that I think will help the Yankees offense. And Gleyber Torres, because I'm a big Gleyber Torres fan. I think he has potential. So my idea is this. It has to do with the lineup. You bat Soto second. You break up Soto. You break up Judge. You put Torres third. You bat Judge fourth. This way, Torres will get pitches because they'll be forced to pitch to him. And he'll have more confidence and play better in the field.
I don't hate that idea, Philip. Yeah. The problem is, conventional baseball will tell you, Aaron Judge, who is unconsciously the best hitter in baseball, you want to make sure he gets as many at-bats as possible, and if sliding him from third to fourth means potentially by the end of the game he's not coming up and Gleyber Torres is in the ninth inning, you're going to go nuts. However, Gleyber Torres following Soto, who's always on base, and having Judge's protection,
yes,
there would be no excuse for Gleyber Torres not to get
this was, if this was Gleyber that we've seen these last couple of games, that would be amazing. Now I have to take an aside. Cristiano Ronaldo on the spot, taking a penalty kick against Slovenia, 104th minute, missed. Missed. Wait. He missed.
He didn't make contact with the ball?
No, it was a save, but he missed. Oh, you got to put it in the back of the net, Ronaldo.
That's Aaron Judge in a big at-bat in October.
Stop it. Anyways, back to baseball.
Yeah, what were you saying? Oh, yeah. So I think Gleyber Torres in the 3-0. I don't mind doing that, breaking them up. But again, it's a tough pill to swallow. Yeah, will you be saying that in the ninth inning, two outs, it's right. Labor up and not
look,
Judge?
I've heard this a couple of times over the last couple of weeks, and people are saying the same thing. I don't hate that, but I think the circumstances of what we saw yesterday and the last game against the Blue Jays is exactly why you don't do that, right?
Right.
Because who knows what Volpe's been good enough this year, but Soto is almost guaranteed to be on in front of Aaron Judge. Almost guaranteed. So I think breaking them up sounds good, but I think the better solution is hoping, like we saw over the weekend, that Gleyber actually becomes more like Gleyber.
Yes.
That Giancarlo Stanton is not out for longer than the 4 weeks that he said he was going to be out.
And he's already started light jogging.
Right. So I think the better hope is to just weather it, as opposed to moving Judge away from Soto.
Yeah, what's going on here now? There's a lot of hugging going on here, T.
Because he's crying.
He's crying because he missed it?
Yes. Well, he's crying.
But they didn't lose the game?
No, it's not. They're halftime of extra time. So
halftime of extra time. And you wonder why soccer has been lost.
Soccer is 45 minutes, and then 45 minutes, and then if it goes to overtime in these international competitions, it's a 30-minute extra period with 15-minute, you know, half.
So not sudden death.
So it's it's not sudden death. Not, the only sudden death in soccer is penalty kicks. They're not there. So it's 15-minute.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
An extra half, another halftime, and then another 15 minutes. So they're at extra time of the half of the overtime, or they're halftime of the extra time.
Oh man, what a save! Ronaldo could play for my team any day. He cares that much that he's crying. That's how I look after a bad loss.
Yes. Well, he doesn't miss penalty kicks. I think it's his first one in international competition that he's missed.
Joe in Staten Island. Joe, what's up?
Guys, how you doing? Thanks for taking my phone call.
What's up, Joe?
Thanks. Very good. Tiki, at the time when Steve Summers was on, you and Evan, you had Throwback Thursday.
Yeah.
He was saying.
Yeah.
And he says he had a guy that tried called 1,200 times in the 24. That was me. I've been one of the original callers from day one.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm just happy the fan is still going well and everything. You know, everything has changed and all that. But I'm happy that it's still doing well and everything, and I wish you guys all the best of luck in the world.
Appreciate it, Joe. Oh, someone called just for happy birthday.
That's nice.
Look at that.
No fudgy to will.
We should have said it earlier in the show.
We should have, but I had the honor. I had the honor to listen.
Yes, you had the honor to Cinco.
Paulie, do we have breaking glass? Am I going to be the only one that handles the business here?
Mm.
I'm surprised Paulie's not all over this.
Just break the glass.
So, Ranger fans, you've been waiting for an update on Jacob Trouba, the Rangers captain who we had woken up to Saturday morning news that we thought a deal was imminent with the Detroit Red Wings to trade the Rangers captain. He has not been moved. Reports came out that Jacob Trouba's wife, who wanted to be in New York, was not happy. He has a 15-team no-trade clause, and he's making $8 million a year. Chris Drury has spoken on the Jacob Trouba situation. This from Molly Walker, a quote. Jacob plays hard every night, provides a lot of leadership for us. Jacob knows what I think of him as a person and a player, and I'm going to keep any private conversations I have with him or his agent private. We're always looking to move the team forward and be the best team we can possibly be. I'm not going to go through player by player who is going to be here and who is not going to be here. We're just trying to do the best we can in this offseason and put our best foot forward come training camp. Tiki Barber, how do you interpret that? Will Jacob Trouba be a Ranger?
Yes, he will be a Ranger. That sounds like, unless they get blown away, he's going to be a Ranger.
It sounds like Jacob Trouba is going to really institute his no-trade clause here. And I take it the same way. I think that they tried to move him. I think they failed on moving him because of maybe whoever they were going to pair him with was not on the no-trade. And I think that now, much like the Giants when they tried to trade up for Drake May and then had to say everything good about Daniel Jones, they are now in damage control. You'll never know exactly what was said to Jacob, but basically we appreciate his leadership and he's going to be here.
Yes.
That's the way I take it.
That's how I interpret that.
So Jacob Trouba, take it as you will, probably a New York Ranger in what has been an odd first day of free agency. Chris in Connecticut. Chris, what's up?
Hey, guys. Love the soccer talk today. So I just wanted to bring up the big U.S.-Uruguay game that's coming up tonight, if you guys are going to watch it.
Oh, definitely. I'm going to watch it. It's 9 o'clock East Coast time, so maybe Sean won't watch it.
I might, actually. But, if I get House of the Dragon first.
But it's a huge game. I mean, an enormous game because of what's at stake.
The coach will get fired if they lose, so Berhalter will go.
Yeah.
And there was so much expectations and going into the game and what Pulisic can do. And that loss to Panama really crushed us with that red card.
I mean, it crushed us only because of the circumstances. And we know it. Timmy Weah gets ejected with a red card in the 13th minute. And they score and they hold on. They try to hold on. They can't. They give up a goal right before halftime. And it put them in position to have to scramble. And they ultimately lose to Panama, who's an inferior team. The unfortunate thing is that Panama has to play Bolivia, who stinks. And at the bottom of the group. So if Panama wins and the U.S. doesn't, they don't go forward. They're out like Mexico, another traditional Caribbean power or South American power that's out. Wow. Mexico was out. They drew yesterday, and because of goal differential, they lose. And the United States has to win against the best team in their group, who is Uruguay. Now, maybe they get a little bit of advantage because Uruguay is already through, in theory, and their coach, Bielsa, is banned from the match because they came out late from halftime.
Are you serious?
Twice. So they came out late against Bolivia. They got warned. And then they came out late again. Against Panama, they got warned. They came out late again against Bolivia, so he gets suspended.
This sounds like the anti-Coughlin. You're coming out late?
Dude, it's crazy. This is the coach. The coach
that
is
insane. What kind of message is that?
And so they're a superior team. But the U.S. are on edge because they have to win. It is must win.
You hear?
Otherwise, they're out of Copa America.
You hear the happiness in Tiki's voice. Look, Evan taking a nice little vacation. Tiki's now taking 3 soccer calls.
Well, do people want to talk soccer? You guys think soccer is not...
I had a great time with you, Shana. You saw me?
You just have to understand it to appreciate it.
And that sushi at Red Bull Arena, let me tell you.
I'm telling you, man.
Tim in Copeg. Tim, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Pleasure. What's up, dude?
So, from someone who's worked at both Carvel and at Friendly's, while Fudgy the Whale is great...
I have been to Friendly's.
The watermelon roll is... by far, the better ice cream cake.
I disagree, Tim. I disagree, and I love Friendly's. But think of this. When you think Carvel, you think Fudgy the Whale. When you think Friendly's, you think Reese's Pieces Sunday before you think Watermelon Roll.
Mmm. Yeah, the Sundays at Friendly's are what you go for.
And by the way, what are you like? Now, what are you like, Luis Severino playing for the Yankees and Mets? You've worked at both Carvel.
So when I worked at Carvel, I was like in 8th grade, and it may or may not have been on the book.
Working papers?
Give me cash. Straight cash,
I
homie.
I technically had them, but it's just whether or not Carvel had them.
I love the idea that Friendly's goes after you like a free agent. He's got good pedigree, worked at Carvel, worked at software.
There was a big gap. There was a big gap. I was semi-retired for a while, and I went back into the game. But there was also a Friendly's cake years ago that was an ice cream cake that also had actual chocolate cake in it. I don't know if anybody else remembers that. It had fudge drops on top.
Ooh.
That was superior to Fudgy the Whale.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not going to stand for the Fudgy the Whale slander, frankly. And I love Friendly's.
I need to have a Fudgy the Whale.
You do.
I got to try.
Whale is it's so perfect. Now, you need a little melty. You don't want to eat it too hard. You want it to soften a little bit. You know, if it's a good birthday, 30 minutes before you sing happy birthday, you take that out, sit on the counter. It's tremendous. And Cookie Puss is fantastic as well. But I will not stand for this. And watermelon roll, fine. You know, chocolate chips inside, sherbet.
I don't know if I had the watermelon roll. Because I always go for the sundae.
Put it this way. It's like strawberry and watermelon flavored sherbet with chocolate chips in it, like the seeds. It's good. But you wouldn't have it all year round.
It doesn't seem like a natural combination.
It's not, but it's good. It's not, but it's good. Trust me.
Something I wouldn't naturally think to order.
Right.
But if I did, I'd enjoy it.
But it only works in the summertime.
Mm. That's
fair. Fudgy the Whale plays 12 months of the year. It's like soccer.
It's still stunning that you've never heard of Fudgy the Whale. That's stunning to me.
I don't think I go to Carvel. I know the brand. You know what it is? I feel like I've had Carvel at somebody's party.
Right, but how do you not have a Fudgy the Whale?
I don't think they brought the Fudgy the Whale.
CeCe's never served a Fudgy the Whale?
No.
Tiki, look, I hope that we are friendly enough that we see each other for your 50th birthday. You're getting a Fudgy the Whale. Let that be my gift to you.
My kids will love you.
Mount Rushmore of Carvel. Fudgy, obviously, on there. Flying Saucer.
Of course.
Am I good so far? I'm a big Carverlanche guy. I know not everybody's going to like that.
Yeah.
What's the one where they dip the chocolates around the vanilla ice cream? And it's like a chocolate coating around it?
Yeah, it's the hard
chocolate
shell.
The bonnet.
Yeah.
So I think those are good four. Would you agree or disagree?
I would agree. And Carvel, look, is the natural, still soft serve ice cream of our generation. So, by the way, if you have a problem with us talking ice cream, tell the Yankees to play a game tonight. And you can stay tuned for Baseball Night in New York, presented by Tri-State Cadillac, coming up next on SNY. Enjoy the Mets and Nats on SNY. Thank you, Cadillac. We'll continue your calls on that.
Every day at Carvel.
I'm like, what is going on?
Second, I was like, did we get transported back to 1971?
Tiki Barber never having Fudgy the Whale is the biggest revelation on today WFAN's 37th by far. Would you say also, Loogie, history of WFAN, every host, Tiki's got to be the only one that never even heard of Fudgy the Whale, right?
Well, I mean, so many of these guys are local, right?
No, you didn't grow up here, so that's totally why. And you also
they've been
taking care of your body.
Right. No, but it's not even that. I mean, I eat bad sometimes, a lot actually. But I think it's an island thing, isn't it?
Carvel's definitely a huge Long Island thing, and you teed me up. I guarantee you, even though he spent the majority of his life on Long Island, Evan Roberts has never heard of Fudgy the Whale.
No, he has.
Okay.
He has. Right. He has.
He has not.
I refuse to believe he's that uncultural. Before we get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Today is also Bobby Bonilla Day, and I just wanted to get that out in the universe at 5:35 p.m. Eastern. There's a reason I didn't do it until now. Here's why. I find it to be the most sensibly useless, unfunny sports tradition than when everybody reminds everybody on July 1st it's Bobby Bonilla Day because the Mets cough up a check of about $1.19 million.
Which is nothing, by the way.
It is nothing.
It is a rounding error.
And, you know, the Dodgers are going to be paying Ohtani basically from here until 2074.
$70 million?
Right. And I think Rovell put out a tweet. A ton of teams do this with players. But for some reason, because Bobby Bonilla was never, you know, the Met that everybody thought... This is where Shawnee defends the Mets. It is embarrassing when people make fun of the Mets for Bobby Bonilla Day. It was a creative, creative way to pay him, and also smart by Bobby Bonilla to take a $1 million check from here to the rest of his life. I think both parties were extremely smart in the deal, and I don't understand for the litany of things that the Mets you could laugh at, including Brandon Nimmo falling in a shower and splitting his head open. The idea that the Mets still to this day have people make fun of them for Bobby Bonilla Day, Tiki, I find to be outrageous, and I'm so over those stupid jokes.
Right. It's just not even funny anymore.
Bonilla!
It's just whatever.
It's so stupid. So stupid.
It's like put him on the payroll. He's basically just on the payroll. He's a non-working employee.
Right. Who cares? The Mets have done 47 more embarrassing things since Bobby Bonilla signed that contract that we still have to bring this up every July 1st. Feline in Long Beach. Feline, what's up?
Hi, how are you?
We're good. What's up? What's up, Feline?
Okay, so listen, I have several things I want to talk about. First, I want to talk about the ice cream. In Lido Beach on Lido Boulevard is a really important place that you need to go get ice cream. It's called Marvel. They have soft served.
I've had it.
The bomb. It's amazing. You have to get there, Tiki.
I mean, if Sean ever invites me out there, I'll go.
Here's the truth. Pain in the butt to get there. You think Long Island's a pain in the butt?
True.
Going down there, pain in the butt.
They also have. They also put one on Long Beach Boardwalk.
Yeah, that's not
by
bad.
By the Alegria.
Right. I get
my
the Long Island
thing is,
there.
I am the girl that called during the playoffs, and I do my nails every single week. And
for the different colors.
You and I... spoke. Yes, and you and I were supposed to meet for a drink on...
For game five, and
game
you never called back to figure out where to go.
I did.
When?
And then I couldn't get through. You guys were jammed and you didn't take my call. So then I actually tweeted you, and you know what? I think because you and I never met up for a drink, they lost and they didn't do anything inspiring today either.
All right, wait, hold on, Feline.
Huh.
You think
all
that
of a sudden Sean's fault.
So I jinxed the Rangers and I meet you for a drink. I'd love to meet you for a drink before a game. When did you tweet me, by the way?
I found you and I tweeted you that time at like 6 o'clock. And I was trying to tell you, look, I'm the girl that you were supposed to meet up for a drink. I'm in section 120. And we never met up.
Well, Tiki will tell you where I was that night. I wasn't with the common folk. Okay.
I was
eating charcuterie and drinking wine.
Feline, he bougied. He bigger, better dealed you.
Yeah.
Just so you know. He bigger, better. He went to a suite and he hung out in a suite and lived the high life for a night.
Feline.
But that's why they lost. It might have been because he didn't meet you for a drink. Maybe his wife would have had a problem with that
bougie.
Too. Whatever. But it was mostly because he got bougie.
Feline, just there's a fella out in Long Beach named Scott Rollins. Find him, take him to Marvell. He will be in my place. Okay.
Just, now I'll go with my husband.
All right. He's about 3 feet tall. You wouldn't be able to miss him. Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you. Hey.
She's married too. You've been good.
I wasn't even thinking that, Mr. Barber. She just wanted to paint her nails and have a good old face.
It looks like such a kinky sex activity.
By the way, I was scared when she said I stood her up on the call screen. I'm like, oh, no. What did I forget about?
Where do I know you from?
By the way, guys, we have Brandon Nimmo news.
Oh, please.
Let's hear it.
So he's being interviewed right now. He's got the OMG shirt on. Have you ever seen Couples Retreat?
Of course.
Okay, so in the movie, Vince Vaughn gets attacked by sharks, but not really.
Yeah.
He's got a kind of a really, I don't want to downplay this. He's got a really small bandage on. So just to be
clear. So why is he missing the game?
Okay, so here's what happened
here. Because he's not a dog.
He said he.
Like Soto.
He said he fainted in the bathroom last night, but is okay now.
Fainted?
Apparently he didn't eat or sleep or whatever. So he's got this little like gash mark with the Band-Aid over it. And he said he fainted. So he didn't slip. He slipped, I guess, but he fainted.
He fainted. Boy, I don't. Nimmo is so squeaky clean. I don't want to go down wild boar territory with Cespedes, but something feels off.
He goes. He says, "Quote: just a little Harry Potter scar."
What does that mean?
I don't know. I was going to lean
like
on
a little
for that
lightning
one.
Bolt at the, in the middle of his forehead.
Of course.
I wonder if someone specifically found him.
I mean, if you
like Elvis,
well, he said he fainted.
He fainted, so he couldn't have called.
What I mean? What I tell you, there's not a more vulnerable position to be in than butt naked, falling in a shower and getting hurt.
Because then you're going to get discovered by some maid.
Could you imagine walking in on that scene? Oh,
blood everywhere.
Blood everywhere.
There is a clip now of Nimmo talking about it. It's a little long. We could play it. And if you guys like get tired of it, we could kill it.
Go ahead.
A second here. Bring me up, Paulie. Will you? All right.
What happened? Yeah. So I went to bed last night, and I woke up about 5:15 a.m. and my stomach wasn't feeling that great, and I decided to go to the bathroom. When I got there, I cramped, assuming from yesterday, physical exertion from yesterday. And when I cramped, I got up really fast and I went to go get a drink of water, and I came back to the toilet and I don't remember going from the toilet, and then all I remember is I woke up and I was on the floor of the bathroom, and I was confused. I was like, why am I here? And I pushed up, and when I pushed up, I had blood running off my face from the where I hit my head. I'm not sure where. I'm not sure how I had it. I've never had anything like this happen where I'm just blacked out, and I literally cannot tell you what happened. I don't know.
That's kind of scary.
You can set it off. Wow. That's kind of scary. So basically, he was dehydrated from yesterday and got up to get water, got up too quickly, and then lost his orientation and passed. I mean, dehydration is a real thing.
It's scary.
Like, a lot of guys don't think about, I don't know, I just got to drink some water or get some fluids into me after a game.
Right.
So I can see it, but man.
And he said the physical exertion yesterday. I wonder how much that had to do with the stop and go of that long rain delay.
Maybe.
And then all of a sudden having to go immediately to Washington.
Yeah, the challenge with, yes, I think it's the travel. So the challenge with like a rain delay is that you think, it's raining outside, it's cool. It was actually humid as hot as hell yesterday.
It wasn't until this morning that it felt football.
Right, yeah. It was actually nice, very nice this morning. By the way, for those who care, Copa America, Portugal has defeated Slovenia on goal, on penalty kicks. So it went extra time finish, still 0-0 draw. And then the extra and the penalty kicks, Diogo, I don't know him, Diogo Costa, who's the goalie for Portugal, blocked all three penalty kicks. All three spot kicks were blocked. And then obviously Ronaldo made his. Bruno Fernandes did a look away made, and then they just got the third one in. So Portugal advances, survives Slovenia. Pretty dramatic fashion.
Now,
for soccer.
This is interesting because the scoreboard still says 0-0. Why not put up a 1-0 win there?
Because it's a penalty kick. It doesn't count for the score. The score is 0-0. But they won penalty kicks. 3-0 penalty kicks.
So Portugal's goalie is basically the Igor Shesterkin in the round of 16 here.
Diogo Costa. Three stops. It felt like he was cheating, by the way. Because you have to keep your feet on the line. And so what he would do is he would straddle the line. And so he'd have one foot to jump off of that's in front of the line. And he dove the way. I mean, he picked the right way, so whatever. But he blocked all three shots, which is pretty amazing.
Isn't it pretty easy to score on a penalty kick? The net is pretty big, no?
It's huge, but you got to guess the right way.
Right, so he guessed each time?
Each time he guessed the right way.
It's a mental game.
And the way that he leapt, he blocked every shot.
It's the beautiful game, Paulie.
It is.
It's the beautiful game. Sean in Middletown. Sean, what's up?
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, man?
No, so yesterday I was at the ball game, Mets game. And I don't know if Brandon Nimmo even knows this or anything, but Brandon Nimmo's home run hit some kid right in the face and ended up with stitches. And I thought it was kind of ironic that Brandon Nimmo fell in the bathroom today and cut his head open. I just had to call up and say
it. Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
So a little Homer karmic. So according to Sean, who was at the game, Brandon Nimmo's homer cracked the kid in the face to the point he was bleeding. I have to go back and see the replay of the homer now. I'm sure Tiki is 10 steps down the rabbit hole with that. But then Brandon Nimmo wakes up cramping and cracks his head a little bit. Now, you're saying very small lightning bolt, Harry Potter energy on the cut.
Yeah, that was his words, a Harry Potter scar. So we're saying this is an eye for an eye from the baseball gods, essentially?
On a night of House of the Dragon, it wouldn't shock me. It wouldn't shock me at all.
I did not see that. I did not see you get a kid. Tiki's down the rabbit hole here, so we'll find out.
We're going to get the info, no doubt about it. Tiki's like the Pereira here in the booth as he's going to go back and review and give
I'm actually having conversations with my soccer buddies about Portugal.
888-808-1019. Howie on Long Island. Howie, what's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
I'm
good. Tiki, man, you had a great career. I really followed it, and I really enjoyed your career. Hey, guys, the last time I called, I was talking to Russ, I think, Salzburg, and Steve Summers. That's how far ago it was that I called.
Wow. Well, thank goodness you didn't lose the number, Howie.
Yeah.
They changed it. They did change it. Right. So I'm calling you guys because Pete Alonso. I'm just curious. You guys think we're going to have Pete Alonso as first base next year? What do you guys think?
I lean yes, because I don't think the Mets are going to get Soto. I also don't think Pete is going to get the monster 7-year deal he's going to get.
Yeah, he's going to want.
Right. So I think somewhere in the middle. I think they actually are. I would not have said this 3 months ago. I think he is the first baseman. Now, Howie, I do have to morbidly ask, what prompted today of all days? If you have not called since the sweater and the schmooze, why call today on Pete Alonso? What got into you?
Well, I was listening to that thing on Bob Vania, and yeah. I just figured, you know what? Why not on July 1st with Bob Vania Day? Why not call you guys?
All right.
You know, and I said, you know what? I'll call you because it's funny, man. Like first baseman with the Mets, there was Mike Jacobs, who I liked Mike Jacobs, whether you liked him or not. I thought he was an incredible ball player.
Okay.
And then you know, honestly, Brett Baty,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, I mean, could you bring him in as a first baseman? He did have a hot bat for a while, no?
Yeah, I mean, you need to see more, and you want to see the defense.
Yeah, I don't trust him as a first baseman.
I don't either.
And I think the first baseman on this team that's a third baseman is
Vientos.
It'd be Vientos.
Yes. Yeah.
And his bat is just more electric, or at least more consistent. Right. Brad Beatty's in an interesting spot for this Mets team.
I think every day I look up and see him rake in the minor leagues.
Oh, he crushes minor league pitching. And so I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the pressure of being in the moment, but
or he's a 4A player.
But I felt, yeah, exactly. I feel like he was took the pressure off of him by not having Mark Vientos up here to start the season, even though JD Martinez was injured after they signed him really late, or not injured, but whatever it was. I think he was actually injured, but they signed Damage Goods and he pushed through it and whatever. They basically gave Brett Baty the starting everyday third base job.
Yeah.
Right? Just go be good.
Right.
Right. We understand you're young. You may have some struggles, but don't just be horrible. He was horrible.
Right.
With his stick. Horrible. He was a pretty good defender, but horrible with his stick. So now that he's down and he's a good 4A player or, you know, AAA player at this point, what do you do with him? Because there's not going to be a role for him.
Especially the logjam with Vientos, who's hitting way more consistently than
there's just not going to be a role for him. And so he becomes trade bait. And it sucks for him, and it sucks for the expectation that was around him for so long, but it's the reality of the business of the game.
And who knows? Maybe Baty helps fetch you and get you the edge on getting a reliever and beating out one of these other teams.
Yes.
In that situation. Rob in Ridgefield. Rob, what's up? You're on the fan.
Yeah, that's great that you guys are talking about Nimmo and cracking his head. I had an incident in Dublin. I went over there for the wedding, and we stayed in the same room for 4 nights, and I put the luggage away. It's a pretty large room. Put the luggage away underneath the closet, you know, and then the night before we're leaving, we decide to fill our luggage for the excursion back home. the next day. So I had to go up and take a pee during the night, and sure enough, don't I hit the luggage with my pinky right toe that used to face north and still to this day faces west. So, yes. What? So imagine. Yeah.
Ouch, oh, yeah. Man.
Oh, my God. And you know what? I'm okay about pain, but so I can't wake my wife up. So I go back, and I got to get on a plane in the morning from Dublin to JFK, and I'm hobbling around. She's like, why are you hobbling? So I get in there, and security's looking at me like, do I have something in my leg? Oh, am God. I carrying a package? So then I get back to JFK. They're asking the same question. So then I get back
to fly with that pain? Oh.
Well, you know, it numbs itself after a while, a couple of Tylenol, you know, a couple of cocktails. And, you know, Aer Lingus is very good about that. So get back to my podiatrist, and he asked me, how did I do this? And he just laughs at me. And I'm like, well, are you going to set it? So are you going to set it? And he goes, there is no setting this. So to this day, that's 6 years ago, to this day, I still have my right pinky facing west.
Oh, where wow. My now, hold on. Now, Rob, did it swell up at all?
Negative. No,
wow,
that's
I would
question.
Have thought it doubled in size.
Well, you know, I think I had a six toe. I think I may have a six toe.
Oh, yeah.
No,
yeah.
No.
It, so your podiatrist didn't set it, but he sure did forget it. Am I right? I thought the guy was going to start telling us about all the paperwork he filled out at the doctor's office. Oh, that's a tough one. Stubbing your toe on the luggage. I'm so glad we tied that into Brandon Nimmo, though. Rob flew back to the summation.
I still can't find this, by the way.
What?
Of him hitting the kid.
I forgot all about that already.
I know he hit a kid in the National Series.
Yeah, I looked at it. He did hit a smaller child, it looks like.
Right, in the National Series.
Right, no, in the yesterday's game. Yeah.
Oh, that was. Oh, that's right.
Yesterday's game. So right. You can tell when the ball goes into the crowd, everyone is jumping, and then they all look in horror at this poor little kid.
That'd be it for that kid going to games. By the way, ask if that kid's having fun.
All right.
Mets are all about fun. John in Oxford, Connecticut. John, you're on the Fan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Hey, Tiki, you know, this is the first time I've been able to get on with you. On the Fan now. I haven't been able to get on with you with any of your other shows. I got to wonder if sometimes you feel like you're a fish out of water. You know, because I feel like here you are talking about, dare I say, international football, not soccer, and you seem to know that. Then you blurted out about a year ago how you don't even know what a tailgate smells like.
That's right. I don't
say that.
I don't go to one. I've never. I mean, I've been to a couple, but
and here you don't even know Fudgy the Whale.
I don't know.
Where
Fudgy
the hell
the
are you from, guy?
Southwest
this
Virginia.
Is what I'm going to call you out. On.
Southwest
this
Virginia.
Is what I got to call you out on.
Roanoke.
Okay, I got to call you out.
Go ahead.
Saquon Barkley is dead to you. Isaiah Hartenstein is not dead to you.
Well, I'm not a Knicks fan.
Right.
I'm not like a die. I mean, I'm a diehard. I played for Giant for life. The Knicks are.
Yeah, I didn't know you were a diehard fan of anything that was domestic. But go ahead.
True. I am a Liverpool fan and United States and men and women soccer team right now. But like the Knicks, BT used to always ask me this. How are you not a Knicks fan? You're in New York. You lived in New York. You're a New Yorker. How are you not a Knicks fan? And the answer was simple. From the time I got here, they weren't good.
Right?
I was not incentivized to follow them. And, you know, last season.
You didn't exactly have a Wilson Chandler jersey.
Right. And so last season, or really going about two or three seasons ago, they got interesting. Not that they were, you know, winning championships or on the verge of winning championships or even viable, but they just were interesting. And so it's like, all right, now I can watch them. But last season, this past season, the one that Loogie with the dude's dogs and doing damage was always talking about.
Whatever that shtick was.
It's not even, but it was real. And you end up watching these guys, and you can't help but, like, love them. Like, Josh Hart, how the hell do you not love Josh Hart?
You
know what I mean?
You have to. Right? Thanks to Josh Hart,
Dante
we haven't stopped eating Mike and Ike's.
Right, Dante DiVincenzo, who's, like, Mr. Eighth Man in Golden State, he comes here, and he's a machine. And so you just end up, I just ended up enjoying the makeup and the construction, the camaraderie, the culture of that of last year's team. And but it's like 1 year
right.
of that. It's not like no, six need, or 7 years of that.
You need more consistency. But I will say this. If the best player on Liverpool decided one day he's going to up and leave and go play somewhere
else. Mo Salah.
Okay, would he be dead to you?
No, because Mo Salah is one of the elite scorers in EPL history. He is one of the top scorers ever.
But if he chose to leave your
Liverpool,
team.
At Liverpool, and he is that close to being like, it's time. Good luck, you're dead to me. No, just it's time.
All right.
Right? Go, go make a couple hundred million in Saudi Arabia.
So he would not be dead.
He would not be dead to me.
Okay. So there you go. It's a very short list to get the Tiki Barber dead to
Saquon
me
Saquon is in his prime.
What if Lugie left to do overnights? Would he be dead to you?
No, because he's just he's leveling up.
What if he left to produce overnights?
Yeah, you'd be dead to me, Lugie.
What if it was this like, is why I'm the future. What if I went to Philly, though? What if I went down to enemy territory?
Nobody cares about Philly.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but I'm just saying. Rush more sports radio.
And that's why I don't think that.
I'm cramped. Yesterday, the physical exertion from yesterday. When I cramped, I got up really fast and I went to go get a drink of water and I came back to the toilet and I don't remember going from the toilet and then I just, all I remember is I woke up and I was on the floor of the bathroom and I was confused. I was like, why am I here? And I pushed up, and when I pushed up, I had blood running off my face from the where I hit my head. I'm not sure where. I'm not sure how I. I've never had anything like this happen where I just blacked out, and I literally cannot tell you what happened. I don't know.
That's kind of scary.
You can set it off. Wow, that's kind of scary. So basically, he was dehydrated from yesterday and got up to get water, got up too quickly, and then lost his orientation and passed. I mean, dehydration is a real thing.
Scary.
Like a lot of guys don't think about, I don't know, I just got to drink some water or get some fluids into me after a game.
Right.
So I can see it, but man.
And he said the physical exertion yesterday. I wonder how much that had to do with the stop and go of that long rain delay.
Maybe. Maybe.
And then all of a sudden having to go immediately to Washington.
Yeah, the challenge with, yes, I think it's the travel. So the challenge with like a rain delay is that you think, it's raining outside, it's cool. It was actually humid as hot, hot as hell yesterday.
It wasn't until this morning that it felt football.
Right, yeah. It was actually nice, very nice this morning. By the way, for those who care, Copa America, Portugal has defeated Slovenia on goal, on penalty kicks. So it went extra time finish, still 0-0 draw. And then the extra and the penalty kicks, Diogo Costa, who's the goalie for Portugal, blocked all three penalty kicks. All three spot kicks were blocked. And then obviously Ronaldo made his. Bruno Fernandes did a look away made, and then they just got the third one in. So Portugal advances, survives Slovenia. Pretty dramatic fashion.
Now,
pro soccer.
This is interesting because the scoreboard still says 0-0. Why not put up a 1-0 win there?
Because it's a penalty kick. It doesn't count for the score. The score is 0-0. But they won penalty kicks. 3-0 penalty kicks.
So Portugal's goalie is basically the Igor Shesterkin
100%.
Round of 16 here.
Diogo Costa. Three stops. It felt like he was cheating, by the way. Because you have to keep your feet on the line. And so what he would do is he would straddle the line. And so he'd have one foot to jump off of that's in front of the line. And he dove the way. I mean, he picked the right way, so whatever. But he blocked all three shots, which is pretty amazing.
Isn't it pretty easy to score on a penalty kick? The net is pretty big, no?
It's huge, but you got to guess the right way.
Right, so he guessed each time?
Each time he guessed the right way.
It's a mental game.
And in the way that he leapt, he blocked every shot.
It's the beautiful game, Paulie.
It is.
It's the beautiful game. Sean in Middletown. Sean, what's up?
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, man?
No, so yesterday I was at the ball game, Mets game. And I don't know if Brandon Nimmo even knows this or anything, but Brandon Nimmo's home run hit some kid right in the face and ended up with stitches. And I thought it was kind of ironic
that Brandon Nimmo fell in the bathroom today and cut his head open. I just had to call up and say
Oh, man. Oh,
wow.
So a little Homer karmic. So according to Sean, who was at the game, Brandon Nimmo's Homer cracked the kid in the face to the point he was bleeding. I have to go back and see the replay of the Homer now. I'm sure Tiki is 10 steps down the rabbit hole with that. But then Brandon Nimmo wakes up cramping and cracks his head a little bit. Now, you're saying very small lightning bolt, Harry Potter energy on the cut.
Yeah, that was his words, a Harry Potter scar. So we're saying this is an eye for an eye from the baseball gods, essentially?
Mm. On a night of House of the Dragon, it wouldn't shock me. It wouldn't shock me at all.
I did not see that. I did not see you get a kid. Tiki's down the rabbit hole here, so we'll find out.
We're going to get the info, no doubt about it. Tiki's like the Pereira here in the booth as he's going to go back and review and give
I'm
us
actually
all the
having conversations with my soccer buddies about Portugal.
888-808-1019. Howie on Long Island. Howie, what's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
I'm
hey,
good.
Tiki, man. You had a great career. I really followed it, and I really enjoyed your career. Hey,
thank
guys,
you.
The last time I called, I was talking to Russ, I think, Salzburg, and Steve Summers. That's how far ago it was that I called.
Wow. Well, thank goodness you didn't lose the number, Howie.
Yeah.
They changed it. They did change it. Right. So I'm calling you guys because Pete Alonso. I'm just curious. You guys think we're going to have Pete Alonso as first base next year? What do you guys think?
I lean yes, because I don't think the Mets are going to get Soto. I also don't think Pete is going to get the monster 7-year deal he's going to get.
Yeah, he's going to want.
He's going to want. So I think somewhere in the middle. I think they actually are. I would not have said this 3 months ago. I think he is the first baseman. Now, Howie, I do have to morbidly ask, what prompted today of all days? If you have not called since the sweater and the schmooze, why call today on Pete Alonso? What got into you?
Well, I was listening to that thing on Bob Vania, and
yeah.
I just figured, you know what, why not on July 1st with Bob Vania Day, why not call you guys?
All right.
You know, and I said, you know what, I'll call you, because it's funny, man, like first basemen with the Mets, there was Mike Jacobs, who I liked Mike Jacobs, whether you liked him or not, I thought he was an incredible ball player.
Okay.
And then, you know, honestly, Brett Beatty,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, I mean, could you bring him in as a first baseman? He did have a hot bat for a while, no?
Yeah, I mean, you need to see more, and you want to see the defense.
Yeah, I don't trust him as a first baseman.
I don't either.
And I think the first baseman on this team that's a third baseman is
Vientos.
It'd be Vientos.
Yes.
And his bat is just more electric, or at least more consistent.
Right.
Brad Beatty's in an interesting spot for this Mets team.
I think every day I look up and see him rake in the minor leagues.
Oh, he crushes minor league pitching. And so I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the pressure of being in the moment, but
or he's a 4A player.
But I felt, yeah, exactly. I feel like he was took the pressure off of him by not having Mark Vientos up here to start the season, even though JD Martinez was injured after they signed him really late, or not injured, but whatever it was. I think he was actually injured, but they signed Damage Goods and he pushed through it and whatever. They basically gave Brett Beatty the starting everyday third base job.
Yeah,
right. Just go be good.
Right.
Right. We understand you're young. You may have some struggles, but don't just be horrible. He was horrible.
Right.
With his stick. Horrible. He's a pretty good defender, but horrible with his stick. And so now that he's down and he's a good 4A player or, you know, AAA player at this point, what do you do with him? Because there's not going to be a role for him.
Especially the logjam with Vientos, who's hitting way more consistently.
There's just not going to be a role for him. And so he becomes trade bait. And it sucks for him, and it sucks for the expectation that was around him for so long, but it's the reality of the business of the game.
And who knows? Maybe Beatty helps fetch you and get you the edge on getting a reliever and beating out one of these other teams.
Yes.
In that situation. Rob in Ridgefield. Rob, what's up? You're on the fan.
Yeah, that's great that you guys are talking about Nimmo and cracking his head. I had an incident in Dublin. I went over there for the wedding, and we stayed in the same room for 4 nights, and I put the luggage away. It's a pretty large room. Put the luggage away underneath the closet, you know, and then the night before we're leaving, we decide to fill our luggage for the excursion back home the next day. So I had to go up and take a pee during the night, and sure enough, don't I hit the luggage with my pinky right toe that used to face north and still to this day faces west. So, yes.
What?
So imagine, Yeah.
Ouch, oh, yeah. Man.
Oh, my God. And you know what? I'm okay about pain, but so I can't wake my wife up. So I go back, and I got to get on a plane in the morning from Dublin to JFK, and I'm hobbling around. She's like, why are you hobbling? So I get in there, and security's looking at me like, do I have something in my leg? Oh, am God. I carrying a package? So then I get back to JFK. They're asking the same question. So then I get back
to fly with that pain? Oh.
Well, you know, it numbs itself after a while, a couple of Tylenol, you know, a couple of cocktails. And, you know, Aer Lingus is very good about that. So get back to my podiatrist, and he asked me, how did I do this? And he just laughs at me. Oh, and I'm like, well, are you going to set it? So are you going to set it? And he goes, there is no setting this. So to this day, that's 6 years ago, to this day, I still have my right pinky facing west.
Oh, where wow. My now, hold on. Now, Rob, did it swell up at all?
Negative. No,
wow,
that's
I would
question.
Have thought it doubled in size.
Well, you know, I think I had a six toe. I think I may have a six toe.
Oh, yeah.
No, no.
Yeah. So your podiatrist didn't set it, but he sure did forget it. Am I right?
I thought the guy was going to start telling us about all the paperwork he filled out at the doctor's office.
Oh, that's a tough one. Stubbing your toe on the luggage. I'm so glad we tied that into Brandon Nimmo, though. Rob flew back to the summation.
I still can't find this, by the way.
What?
Of him hitting the kid.
I forgot all about that already.
I know he hit a kid in the National Series.
Yeah, I looked at it. He did hit a smaller child, it looks like.
Right, in the National Series.
Right, no, in the yesterday's game. Yeah.
Oh, that was. Oh, that's right.
Yesterday's game. So right. You can tell when he hits, when the ball goes into the crowd, everyone is jumping, and then they all look in horror at this poor little kid.
Yep, that'd be it for that kid going to games. By the way, ask if that kid's having fun.
All right.
Mets are all about fun. John in Oxford, Connecticut. John, you're on the fan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Hey, Tiki, you know, this is the first time I've been able to get on with you. On the fan now. I haven't been able to get on with you with any of your other shows. I got to wonder if sometimes you feel like you're a fish out of water. You know, because I feel like here you are talking about, dare I say, international football, not soccer, yes. And you seem to know that. Then you blurted out about a year ago how you don't even know what a tailgate smells like.
That's right. I don't
say that.
I don't go to one. I've been to a couple, but...
And here you don't even
different.
Know Fudgy the Whale?
I don't know
Where
Fudgy
the hell
the
are you from, guy?
Southwest
this
Virginia.
This is what I'm going to call you out on.
Southwest
this
Virginia.
This is what I got to call you out on.
Roanoke.
Okay, I got to call you out.
Go ahead.
Saquon Barkley is dead to you. Isaiah Hartenstein is not dead to you?
Well, I'm not a Knick fan.
Right.
I'm a diehard. I play for Giant for life. The Knicks are.
See, I didn't know you were a diehard fan of anything that was domestic. But go ahead.
True, I am a Liverpool fan and United States and men and women soccer team right now. But like the Knicks, BT used to always ask me this: how are you not a Knicks fan? You're in New York. You lived in New York. You're a New Yorker. How are you not a Knicks fan? And the answer was simple: from the time I got here, they weren't good.
Right.
I was not incentivized to follow them, and. You know, last season...
You didn't exactly have a Wilson Chandler jersey.
Right,
until
last season, or really, going about two or three seasons ago, they got interesting. Not that they were, you know, winning championships or on the verge of winning championships or even viable, but they just were interesting. And so it's like, all right, now I can watch them. But last season, this past season, the one that Loogie with the dudes, dogs, and doing damage was always talking about...
Whatever that shtick was.
It's not even... But it was real. And you end up watching these guys, and you can't help but, like, love them. Like, Josh Hart, how the hell do you not love Josh Hart?
You have to. Right? Thanks to Josh Hart.
Dante DiVincenzo. Right. Dante DiVincenzo, who's, like, Mr. Eighth Man in Golden State, he comes here, and he's a machine. And so you just end up, I just ended up enjoying the makeup and the construction, the camaraderie, the culture of last year's team. But it's like 1 year of that. It's not like 6 or 7 years of that.
You need more consistency. But I will say this. If the
best player on Liverpool decided one day he's going to up and leave and go play somewhere
else? Mo Salah.
Okay, would he be dead to you?
No, because Mo Salah is one of the elite scorers in EPL history. He is one of the top scorers ever.
But if he chose to leave your team.
At Liverpool, and he is that close to being like, it's time. Good luck, you're dead to me. No, just it's time.
All right.
Right? Go make a couple hundred million in Saudi Arabia.
So he would not be dead.
He would not be dead to me.
Okay. So there you go. It's a very short list to get the Tiki Barber dead to me.
Saquon is in his prime.
What if Lugie left to do overnights? Would he be dead to you?
No, because he's leveling up.
What if he left to produce overnights?
Yeah, you'd be dead to me, Lugie.
What if it was this is why I'm the future. What if I went to Philly though? What if I went down to enemy territory?
Nobody cares about Philly.
Yeah, that's true.
But I'm just saying, Mount Rushmore sports radio.
And that's why I don't think the iHeart thing is comparable.
They're doing Mount Rushmore today?
Dude, there's a host in Philly that I caught doing Mount Rushmore radio last week. That's all I'm going to say. A little gimmicky, don't you think?
Yeah, there's enough to still talk about.
Yeah.
We're not like, they're not the best team in baseball.
Yeah, a little gimmicky.
Right? The Phillies have the best, don't they have the best record? I think they do.
They did.
They're right up there.
It might be the Guardians now, but
whatever.
Either way.
They have one of the best records in baseball. How are you not talking baseball every day?
Mount Rushmore Radio. Oof.
Was it at least baseball?
I think it was a little bit of everything. Wow. The guy's name was...
Are you an adult or are you a child?
Mike Reskin. I forgot who it was.